3 years ago this week, I preached my first sermon at St. Mark's, and I preached it on Matthew 14:13-21. Just in case you don't remember everything I talked about that day, I thought I'd return to this text and look at it again. The way I want to look at it today is under three headings: the overwhelming need that presents in this text, the underwhelming resources that are brought to Jesus, and the overwhelming provision that he makes for people, and of course the way God still acts like that today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. We pray that you bless us now as we hear it and meditate on it. We pray that you build us up in faith and in love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The overwhelming need. The overwhelming need in our text today begins, interestingly, before the text itself even begins. So if you heard, it said that when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew to a solitary place. And of course, it should make us ask, well, what happened? What had just happened in the text before this text is that John the Baptist had been put to death at the hands of Herod fairly suddenly and fairly gruesomely. And so Jesus is actually grieving. And this text picks up by saying, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat to a solitary place. Jesus is seeking solitude, saddened by the sudden death of his cousin and his forerunner and his friend, John the Baptist. If Jesus were an Aussie, we'd say he's gone out bush for a while. He's gone to get away for a while. He's gone to be alone. Makes me think a little bit of the Aboriginal practice of sorry business, if you're somewhat familiar with it. The grieving time, the grieving rituals when a community member dies. It's highly significant, culturally, socially, emotionally for people. It's highly significant, and you don't interrupt it for anything. Now, apparently, someone forgot to tell the crowds in those days about that, because they go out and follow Jesus in their hordes. They go out from the towns. They want to hear him, or they want to get a look at him, or they want to get something from him. And they arrive by the thousands. Now, we could understand if Jesus was a little put out by this, a little frustrated. He's gone out there to be alone. He's gone out there to have a bit of time to himself, probably to spend time in prayer. And 5,000 plus people follow him out there. Now, we would understand if Jesus was a bit frustrated, and yet what we read is he had compassion on them and healed their sick. His heart went out to them. He saw them as his primary vocation, as what he was supposed to be doing, and he put their needs above his own. That's the initial need in our text. Jesus has a need to be out there by himself. The people have needs to come and meet with him. And what we find as the text goes on is that human need just multiplies and multiplies. First compassion, then healing, then the very natural, common human need, the need to eat. And so the disciples start to fret, and the day's wearing on and it's getting late. Jesus, send these people away to the villages to buy some food for themselves. And Jesus says, no, you give them something to eat. Now the disciples have needs of their own, not just physical needs, the need to eat themselves and the need to rest, but from what we can tell, they also have something of a need to manage this situation, a need to please the people perhaps, a need to protect Jesus from his own reckless kindness, and yet they're getting very overwhelmed by the situation in which they find themselves. Now, I think we can understand their predicament if you just think how overwhelmed we get as human beings by demands placed on us, or deadlines that are in front of us, or experiences we have, or expectations that come along. Now, Multiply that by 5,000. Maybe you can get a sense of just how overwhelmed these disciples are feeling in this text. Whenever I get the sense of being overwhelmed, I have this image that comes to mind, and it's always the same image, and it's the image of a massive mountain in front of me. And I'm at the base of the mountain, and I don't dare look up to see how high the mountain is, and I don't have any climbing gear, any climbing attire, any climbing experience, but I know I have to climb it. That's the image that comes to my mind. Now, the disciples are standing there at the base of their own mountain with this expectation or demand on them, and they're looking at their apparent lack of resources, their underwhelming resources. Jesus challenges them, and he challenges the thinking that they have that just leaves them throwing their hands up in the air in despair and saying, well, there's nothing we can do about it. Send them away. There's nothing we can do about it, Jesus. We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, Matthew doesn't mention the young boy who provided generously his packed lunch for Jesus, but we know about him from the other accounts. Bring them here to me, Jesus says. And suddenly there's this kind of expectation in the text that something unexpected is about to happen. We find it easy, I think, to look at our problems, to look at our mountains, to look at the needs that we have around us or within us, and to despair. I think we find that pretty easy. We find it a little bit harder to remember that God has actually given us some resources to deal with the needs that are in front of us, some people, some experience, some gifting that can actually help us begin to meet that need. I think we find that a little bit harder. What we find very hard, and at least if you're anything like me, you forget on a regular basis, is this key step, bring them here to me. Bring them here to me. Now, it's a fairly simple request that Jesus makes of his disciples, but it's the whole basis for what comes next. You've got something, you think it's not worth much, it's not going to do much, well, bring it here to me. That's the basis. When I think about sort of life in the congregation at the moment, life in the church, I'd say it's pretty easy for us to feel overwhelmed with needs. What I'm thinking of is, you know, okay, new protocols, new guidelines for how we do things, how we come to church. And so we say, okay, we could use some more ushers, we could use some more greeters, we could use people out in the link to help project the service. And then, okay, mainly music starting up, we need some more helpers for mainly music in the kitchen, put the word out about that. Then Lutheran Community Care gets in touch, says, you know, we have needs at the moment, people have needs, we're trying to help, can you help us? Contact from other people, international students have needs, can you help with the needs of the international students? Then you start talking to people and you find out individuals have needs and families have needs and there's physical needs and social needs and emotional needs. You feeling overwhelmed yet? This is life. This is your life. This is my life. We look at the mountain of need in front of us. And then we look at the resources we've got in our hands and we think it's not enough. I can't do that with this. And that's kind of what we're supposed to think. Because that's what leads us to the next step. And Jesus says, well, here's the good news. I'm not going to throw you back on your own resources. I'm not going to throw you back on your own resources. What I'm going to do is say to you, bring what you have to me. Bring it here. And let's see what can be done with it. Now, maybe there are one or two things on that list that I just mentioned that you think, you know, I could probably help with that. I could probably do something about that. Good. Do it. Or maybe you know someone who's sitting there with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and they maybe don't want anyone to know about it, but they probably also don't think it's much. Encourage them. Encourage them. Because it's probably more than they realize it is. But the point of our text is not just to say to us, fall back on your own resources. You've got everything you need. Just try a bit harder. Just do a bit more. Just be a bit better. If you want that advice, you can go to the local footy club and get it. Or netball club and get it. Not our netball club, but other netball clubs. Right? That's the advice of the world. You've got everything it takes. Just do more. Put in more effort. You'll be right. Do better. Be more. That's not the gospel. That's not what Jesus does, and it's not what he says. The point here in this text is you could never do it without him. Whatever it is for you. You could never do it without him. Why? Because you come to the mountain, you start climbing the mountain, you get over the mountain, you realize there's another mountain behind it. And it's even bigger than the last one. That's life, isn't it? And so Jesus says, bring it here to me and let's see what together we can do about this. And the disciples are left then wondering, okay, so where does the provision come from? Where does the satisfaction come from in the face of overwhelming need and underwhelming resources? How do we find provision? How do we find satisfaction? Matthew writes, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. It's so understated in how it's reported and recorded, and yet it's so profound what's happening here, what Jesus is doing. And notice that the disciples get the privilege to be part of it, to be part of this distribution of blessing. You know, think about where they are. They didn't bring this food. They didn't pay for this food. They didn't work for this food. And yet it's provided to them, and it's provided through them to the crowd. What a wonderful privilege. What a special privilege. Position to be in. To come with nothing, to feel utterly overwhelmed and under-resourced, and then to be given everything you need and more to do what you've been called to do. You know, friends, Jesus takes that which overwhelms us in life and uses it to provide overwhelmingly for us. Constantly. This is how he works. He takes our desire to please people and turns it into a desire to please God, which is so much better. He takes our desire to manage situations and instead says, come under the management of God. He takes our resources and he uses them. He takes our gifts and he multiplies them so that they can do so much more than we could ever ask or imagine that they could do with his help. So friends, bring him what you have. Bring him the good and the bad. Let him increase one and let him heal the other, because that's what he does. Bring him what you have. Come to him as you are. Discover his compassion to you. And when life looks like a mountain to climb, just remember that it's a mountain Jesus has already climbed for you. He scaled it with a cross. He conquered it like a king, and he found life and blessing on the other side. And it's the same thing he has for you. Forgiveness, life, salvation, blessing on blessing, grace on grace. And not just for you, but through you to the world as well. What a privilege. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you come to us through your Son and that you provide for us far more than we ever realize and give you thanks for. But help us today to live those lives of thanksgiving and gratitude so that we may recognize the good we have received and pass it on. Help those of us who are feeling or do regularly feel overwhelmed by life and underwhelmed by their resources to come to you and know that you will provide for them and through them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.